You are listening to WWBC, Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here on WWBC AM 1510. We're also on FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We're also heard on the World Wide Web. And my co-host Ellen will tell our listeners how to log on and listen to that on-demand app.
Yeah, so almost immediately you can log into 1510 WWBC and hear us live on the radio, on demand. And then also, within a few hours after the show, you'll get a download option that's also on that same website. And then we also have them posted on our website as well, which is sitamediainc.com. And you can find all of our past shows as well as our on-demand shows as well, and all of our sponsors and all the great people that have been on the show. Sita, you do such a great job. Assembling all these fantastic people together.
I try. I think in life, anything you do, if you have a passion for it and your heart's in it, it's easy to do it.
Absolutely.
If you like making brooms, you make a broom. If you like cleaning a house, clean a house. If you want to be a nurse, be a nurse. You're a physician, be the best darn physician you can be. So I enjoy being a nurse. I enjoy being an author. I enjoy being an activist. And I enjoy having a voice, thanks to Paul, on WWBC. And I put my heart into it. And it's easy to have a show when you speak from your heart.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I said, there's only three ways that we learn in life how to be a decent human being, in my mind anyways. I'm wrong sometimes. You learn through an academic education, you learn from life experiences, and you learn from the people you meet along the way. Right? That's how you learn. People come into your life for a reason.
And a good foundation with your family.
Right, that too. But I think more so the people you meet that come into your life, and that could include family or friends or neighbors or coworkers. But everyone has a story to tell. And if you take the time to listen, you might learn something.
That's right.
But if you want to, I mean, not everyone wants to listen to someone. Not everybody have that kind of a demeanor where they can sit down and have a conversation with a complete stranger. In my case, I could talk to a wall and the wall will talk back.
Well, see, you listen to actually listen. There's a lot of people that listen just to respond. Like they can't wait for you to finish your story so that they can tell their part.
Right.
Which is, you know, why we want to make sure that the Viewpoint is with Sita and Friends. We tell all sides of the story. We give everybody an opportunity and a voice. And of course, like you always say, with a voice comes responsibility.
Well, of course, yes. Freedom of speech comes with a responsibility, and thank you, Paul, for letting us stay on air on community radio going on 9 years. We have a really action-packed show today. I have my good friend Terry Rizzo, who is the chair of the Florida Democratic Party, is going to be speaking with us in just a minute. And Kay Mirage is here, and she is running for mayor for the city of Palm Bay right here in Florida. So welcome to our show, Kay. She's busy on her phone, but that's okay. That's the life of a person trying to be a politician or a politician. But before we go to Terry, I just wanted to say, you know, one of the people that I admire a lot is a gentleman, Paul Wellstone, and I think you've probably seen his quotes. He always one of the things he said before he passed away was, politics is not about power. Politics is not about money. Politics is not about winning for the sake of winning. Like, we know somebody who liked to win. Mm-hmm. A lot. Politics is about the improvement of people's lives. And I think when all of us wake up every single day on this beautiful earth, this journey called life, we, some of us, do want to make the life of other people better and ourselves as well. And one of those people is my friend Terry Rizzo, and she's on the phone, and I'm going to introduce her to our audience and let her. Well, thank you for calling in, Terry.
Well, thank you, Sita, and you are exactly right. That is exactly the philosophy. Politics is to help make people's lives better. And before even going on, I would like to thank you and all the other nurses and frontline workers who have been working as our frontline during this pandemic. We all owe a tremendous amount of gratitude to all of you for helping keep us safe and working to improve the health of everybody during this horrible, horrible disaster that we're now in now.
Well, I appreciate that because, you know, so nowadays you're seeing memes on Facebook and everywhere where people are not really being very sensitive and kind to those of us that do have to wear a mask for 8 to 10 hours a day and breathe in our own breath. And God forbid you have garlic the night before, you're doomed, you know? So, and, you know, I've had to, hold up a telephone so that people could speak to a loved one through a window, an open window. And it's heartbreaking, especially for Mother's Day when people wanted to hug their loved ones. So thank you so much for that. And I'm sure, you know, that quote by Paul Wellstone is as important as a lot of us are political activists. And yeah. What exactly is an activist, right? An activist is a person that likes to see positive change, that anyone mm-hmm. who sees the need for change and devotes our time and energy and effort and sometimes our money into seeing that done. And it helps social, structural, economic change, not just in the United States, but all over the world. So thank you for recognizing those of us who are activists and make up so much of the Democratic Party as well.
That's exactly right. Our grassroots base are extremely critical in carrying out the work of the party. As you know, the road to the White House is going to go right through Florida this year. Florida has 29 electoral votes. We are the largest of the battleground states. We have a total vote, but more than several of the other battleground states together, and we are the key swing. Donald Trump knows that. And there is no way for Donald Trump to get to the White House. There literally is no path for Donald Trump to get to the White House without carrying the state of Florida. And it's not just intuitively. I mean, we think that intuitively. But we know that factually and statistically, folks have run models. And Jim Messina, a very well-known political strategist, has run a model with 67,000 different variations in which Donald Trump could win, you know, various scenarios. And in not one of them can he win without Florida's 29 electoral votes. So as we say, if we stop him here in order to bring about a positive change in our country, if we stop him here in Florida, he cannot be elected, and we will have Joe Biden elected as president of the United States. Along with, if winning in Florida, we will elect others up and down the ballot as well, because it isn't just the presidency, although that is really key, but it's also electing other Democrats who have our values and who want to carry our values forth in Congress and also in our state legislatures and municipal.
So Terry, is the Florida Democratic Party ready for 2020? Because we're all watching what's happening with the fight between healthcare and the economy. And I personally think, like, right now we're all concerned about COVID-19, the coronavirus and all that. But I really feel that the election is going to come down to healthcare and the economy. Of course, we are going to take into consideration how COVID-19 was handled, but is our party ready for 2020?
And I can say, like never before, the party has been preparing for the election since last year. In fact, immediately after the 2018 election, where we, and as you know, Sita, we actually did have record turnout for Democrats in the 2018 election, and we're successful in many ways. Got Nikki Fried elected as the first statewide elected official since 2006, for example. Picked up some congressional seats, some county commissions, flipped several county commissions, and won seats. We have the largest state legislature delegation since 1998. Still not enough. And we didn't quite make, and in heartbreaking losses, as we know, came so close within less than 0.25% for electing Bill Nelson and Andrew Gillum. So since that time, we've been, we analyzed what we did well to get that way and to get that far and what we could do better. So since last year, we've been implementing a number of programs that you know and the folks around the state may know, including amplifying on our 67 county strategy. Every county matters. We want to narrow the losses in the red counties. In other words, build our margins overall, lose by less in the red counties, flip the swing counties, and run it up in the counties where we have lots of Democratic voters, the blue counties, all with the goal of building our margin, so that we can win and get over the mountaintop this time, make it to the mountaintop. So last year, what did we do well? Number one, vote by mail. And so that got us, in fact, a record turnout last year when over 250,000 low propensity Democrats voted who could have voted in other gubernatorial elections but didn't. But because they were reached out and signed up to vote by mail, actually voted, and that was the margin of difference in Nikki Fried's election, certainly, and in a number of other elections around the state.
You're so right. You know, I don't know if you saw the article that I posted this morning about the U.S. troops who routinely vote by mail, and all of a sudden it's becoming such an issue. But from the article, one of the paragraphs in that article says, these sentiments are shared by such distinguished military veterans as Chuck Hagel, the former Secretary of Defense, former Republican Senator and Vietnam War veteran, retired Air Force General Michael Hayden, a former CIA and NSA director, and retired General Army Barry McAfee. So the thing is, all of a sudden, we're watching where people are saying, don't vote by mail. But, I mean, my neighbors have voted by mail. I have voted by mail. A lot of us have. So that's of concern to me, because all of a sudden people are making that an issue. Why are they making it such an issue?
Well, they're making it an issue, and we'll come back to the other things that we're doing for preparation. But in terms of the vote by mail specifically, I'll pivot to address that now. They're making it an issue because Donald Trump and the Republicans are starting to make it an issue to question, because they know very well if the more people who vote, the more likelihood of voting Democrats. In fact, they've been blatant about it and have said it blatantly that if people vote by mail, that means in Donald Trump, I'm going to paraphrase, and basically said Republicans won't be elected again if the more people who vote by mail. So they're putting that into question, which is so hypocritical. As you know, Donald Trump himself voted by mail. He and his family voted by mail, and so did any number of other people. Military overseas typically have voted by mail, our expats abroad, and increasingly people around the country. You know, five whole states vote by mail.
I think shows like Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is very important, because we have to bring this out, that voting by mail is safe, it's secure, it's efficient. And I know here in Brevard County, especially where we vote, Lori Scott, our supervisor of elections, does a terrific job. But I'm grateful that we're touching on this topic, because I don't like it when people spread false information and scare other people. I know a lot of people who are elderly and enjoy sitting in their living room and having their grandchildren come over and sit with them and ask questions about who they're voting for, and they vote by mail. I know people who are disabled, people who are ill, and it's a really good thing if we could spread the truth that there's absolutely nothing wrong with voting by mail.
And you have the opportunity to research.
There's a lot right about voting by mail. And obviously, people who like to go to the polls and vote can still do so, but we don't know what's going to happen, and especially this year in August and November, we don't know what the situation are going to be. And in all likelihood, the supervisors of elections themselves believe that it may be difficult to have as many polls open because of the numbers of poll workers available. So we would need to prepare for everything, and in preparing for the fall, what I always say is use a vote by mail as an insurance policy. Everybody should sign up for vote by mail, just in case.
Yeah, because you're not penalized in any way. I mean, show up, you hand them your ballot, and you vote anyways. Right.
That's right. You turn it in, or you don't even need to turn it in. You can just show up, because your first vote is what counts.
Right.
So if you show up at the polls, that's what counts. You
know? Right. And actually, that's what I use when I do my. Yeah. I start filling it out at home so that I know what to bring with me.
Well, Terry, we had quite a few questions sent in for us on private messenger on Facebook as well, and I have some for you. And so we're going to ask you one of the questions that one of our friends sent in. She's an attorney from, I think she lives in somewhere down south. I forgot where. But she just sent us a really nice question.
First of all, she says, thank you so much for being such a great leader. That's the first. That was to you, Terry. But she's heard. I know that it was very nice. She said she's heard so much about how prepared the Republicans are to engage and to reach out virtually and online. So this is like... the other side of the mail part of it, right? Especially after all the technical difficulties that Biden's last online effort had. What's the party doing to ensure that the Democrats are not at a disadvantage with respect to technology?
A lot. And I will tell you, and remember I said when we looked at what we could do better going forward, one was to continue vote by mail because that was successful and we were going to double down on that. In addition to that, we talked about voter registration. What we added to the equation was voter registration to build up our Democratic base statewide, and particularly in swing districts. We're adding extra Democratic votes will help carry districts. So voter registration was a key. And a third component was voter protection. Well, we have just continued right along especially with the coronavirus, with the pandemic. Nothing has stopped. We pivoted from face-to-face contact to organizing digitally online. We now, and you all may not know, so I'm proud to tell you, the Florida Democratic Party actually has the largest party with staff in the country. We have over now 130 staff, that includes over 90 organizers in various counties around on the ground.
And you have a lot of cool activists such as myself.
I was just about to say, over 15,000 of you. Over 15,000 of you, Sina. And we've not stopped campaigning, right? We've not stopped. We've been building that infrastructure for a year, waiting for our nominee. We basically built a campaign here. We pivoted now, and virtually everything, well, not virtually, everything now is done digitally and online. Our volunteers are contacting people via phone banks and texting. We have registered thousands of voters via texting and phone banking, and we're certainly signing up to people to vote by mail. And so we've also gotten increased digital use. We've hired specifically experts or organizers, I would say, digital organizers specifically for platform. So it's not just a general digital organizer or director. We have one for Instagram. We have one for Facebook. We have one for Twitter. We have one for every one of the digital platforms. So we have not missed a beat and are just continuing along with that. We also built an in-house mass texting tool using an open source code that was provided by MoveOn.org and allows us to send mass text messages for 20 times less than the text vendors do. We actually started this last July and have carried this forward. We've been making wellness and vote by mail calls. All of our own staff plus our volunteers around the state checking in with Floridians to connect them with available resources signing folks up, as I said, to particularly now to vote by mail.
I love all that you're doing because of course my name was one of the people on the ballot for people to vote as a delegate. I'm not sure if I won. Yeah. And if I didn't, that's okay because a lot of fine people was on that list. But whoever came up with the tool to send out that email and for us to log on, it was perfect. It was easy to vote. It was just for people who don't have a lot of time and are working 8 to 10 hours a day, it's easy just to go on, log on, put in your code, and boom, you could vote for the person that you want to be the delegate for Congressional District 8. And I think you guys are doing a lot of great stuff in bearing in mind the convenience for us. So I applaud you for that because for me, I was like, oh my God, I did it in less than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank you. And that's in our teams across the state, and that's an example of how we're using technology now. And we're matching and building like we've never before. And as the question had to do with, we hear about what the Republicans are doing. Well, the Democrats are doing it too. We are way ahead of the game this year. We sent 1 million text messages just in the last 2 weeks alone about vote by mail. As I said, we've been purchasing, and also voter registration is continuing on. We've been purchasing the data and building the models to better identify unregistered voters now. And for the next 6 months, we are going to be reaching these folks digitally and expect to register another 80,000 online before the August primary. So we're working hard, and we have
And we appreciate it. But Terry, I've always stated on Facebook, and I've told you personally as well, I have a lot of friends who are Republicans, Independents, and Democrats. And at the end of the day, I think most people want the same thing. They want food. They want water. They want shelter. They want affordable housing, insurance, a good job. They want to teach their kids to grow up and be somebody. And we also want somebody to in the White House who we can say we value their behavior, that they have integrity and respect. Yeah. And so sometimes, you know, with family and friends, we have this discussion, why should Florida voters support Joe Biden over Donald Trump? And I know that is something that you've been asked a lot. So tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and friends who are tuning in. And, you know, we all want the same thing. We want to enjoy our life before the good Lord calls us home, right? So why should...
Exactly.
Right. I mean, that's just how it is. People wake up and they want to fight over house and land and car and this and that and racism and hatred and division. But the truth of the matter is there's no reason to be fearful because we all want the same thing. So how would you say to somebody, vote for Joe Biden versus Donald Trump?
Well, I think there are a couple of major points to make on that. I'm sure everybody sees how Donald Trump acts as a leader and how he behaves. And I think everybody can judge that for themselves. What we want to see a leader who acts in a leadership capacity, who calls us to be our better selves, and provides inspiration and leadership. And in with regard to Joe Biden specifically, Joe knows how to get our country out of a recession and tackle our healthcare crisis because he's done it before. And we saw that no one is more qualified to do this. He helped as vice president and led the efforts under President Obama with the recovery and was extremely instrumental in the Affordable Care Act. He's been working on healthcare since way back in the 90s. So he has the experience and significant work on all of these issues, and has been, I mean, frankly, is probably the most qualified person, if not ever to run for president, certainly among the most qualified people ever to run for president, given his experience as a senator and as a vice president under Barack Obama, and especially under difficult crises, as he was under President Obama. He is inspirational and compassionate, and we see this. And he works with a broad coalition of people, as you see, many of the folks who were his opponents in the primary, in fact, all of them, are now supporting him for president and working together with him to win. So I think that he fights for American workers. I think that's another important point to make. He comes from the working class himself.
Yeah, he certainly didn't have a lot of money given to him by his father. But, you know, so what should Florida be doing to make our elections safer during this pandemic? Because, I mean, people are concerned. I mean, we see so many people on the news who are not social distancing, who are not washing their hands, not wearing a mask. I mean, if you have a social bubble, like you have your children, that's okay. You could go on a boat with them like I did yesterday and not wear your mask because you trust them. But, I mean, if you go out in a crowd of people where you don't know who has COVID-19, the coronavirus is spreading, I mean, we know there's going to be a second wave. I mean, how are we going to prepare for our elections here in Florida?
That's a great question. And you're absolutely right. We all have responsibility in this, and we all need to keep each other safe. So, I mean, we all are in it together, and we all should work together to keep everybody safe. We don't know what's going to happen, but as you said, it is likely to expand. We might have another spike, you know, going forward. So in to prepare for that, obviously, we need to our government in the state needs to address this. The supervisors of elections actually have submitted a letter to Secretary of State Lee asking for expanded early voting. If in fact we will be able to have early voting, that expanded to 21 days of early voting over 14, the maximum of 14 now, and also to work on developing, as we have in early voting centers, to be able to, you know, perhaps do that on election day itself, because again, we don't know how many precincts are going to be able to vote. So the supervisors of elections have asked for this. They've also asked for expanded vote by mail, and this is absolutely critical to enable everybody to request a vote by mail ballot. And the supervisors to facilitate that. Again, as an insurance policy, so vote by mail is really critical. This is something, as you know, see, that we've been ahead of the curve on this in the Florida Democratic Party. And people should know, and because some of the listeners may not, Florida is a no-excuse state. Anybody can sign up to vote by mail. You don't need to be absent or to say that you're going to have a reason to be absent. Anybody can sign up for vote by mail. And so the process is easy. All you have to do is request it. And then 30 days before, roughly 30 days before the election, you get your ballot. That should be expanded to everybody. Many of the supervisors are going to be actually mailing out applications, prepaid applications in some of the counties, to everybody in the county, or every voter in the county, I should say. We are really in favor of that. And we also will be reaching out ourselves, because we want everybody to have to sign up for Vote by Mail, as I said, as that insurance policy. We also are going to we put early voting sites in locations with historically, or we're asking and pushing for early voting sites in locations with historically long lines on Election Day, and early voting and also Election Day itself, such as college campuses, such as large precincts and so on, particularly in our communities of color. So there are many ways that we can be working to ensure that the elections are safe. Particularly in the expansion of Vote by Mail, so that everybody has the opportunity to sign up as an insurance policy, and also expanding early voting and access to voting sites. So those are among the things that we believe and support that will help.
I hope people tell each other, because that's how that's how we win. That's how we spread good information.
Right.
Is by one
right.
person telling the other that yes, get your vote by mail as an insurance policy. But Terry, we only have like 3 minutes left. We're gonna give you some of our ad time. But I just wanted to tell you before our last question, there was a lovely friend of mine. Her name is Heather Everett, and she sent something for me to say to you. She said that she knows and loved the Democratic Party, and she just wants all of us to know that she doesn't like the idea that our voices are being drowned out in such insignificant banter about the economy versus humanity. And I think she's right about that. But I know Ellen has a question for you, one more question before we let you go.
Yeah, so the question was, why should voters let the Democrats back into power to handle this coronavirus pandemic?
Right, and we only got, 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, because,
question for 3 minutes.
I would say that people need to take a look at what has been done by the people currently in power, which has been an absolutely chaotic disaster. And judge it from that. I mean, Donald Trump has and the administration have delayed, even after they received notification or began to get notices of the coronavirus hit, delayed, deflected, and blamed other people. And still actually have not responded in an appropriate fashion. There's still not access to testing. Deferred everything on to the governors of the states rather than taking having the federal government be responsible as they should be in taking leadership. And we've seen how they've handled this crisis, which is a disaster, in certainly in my opinion and the opinion of many people. The Democrats, in fact, if you go back to President Obama when we had the SARS epidemic back in I think it was 2014, handled it appropriately. Donald Trump, in fact, some of the listeners may not realize this, but actually disbanded the White House
science. It's almost like they've got something against science, except when they have a really bad cold and they need a Z-Pack that was made by scientists.
Defunded the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, cut 80% of, and on. So the Democrats have experience in doing it. They had the plan that President Obama instituted for dealing with a pandemic, which was completely thrown out the window by Donald Trump's administration. So the Democrats have a positive experience in dealing with crises, have a plan for dealing with it, compared with the current administration, which has demonstrated that it does not.
But yesterday I was coming home from work and I saw this gentleman cutting the grass. I think it was a couple of days ago, and it was hot. And the first thing I think about is, does this guy have health care? What if he hurts himself? And then I drive down the road a little bit and I see a guy on a roof, and I'm like, I wonder if the roofer has health insurance. I mean, I think Democrats, we think differently. Like, I can't go to bed at night knowing that someone up the road doesn't have a refrigerator filled with food and their parents don't have a home for them to live in. And I think that's what it is. It's called humanity. It's not Republican against Democrat against Independent. It's about all of us collectively working for the common good. And so I appreciate you, and I know you're a good leader, and I think it's all about leadership. So, Ellen, having the Florida Democratic Party chair, Terry Rizzo, on our show has been wonderful for me. Terry, thank you so very much. I love you. I appreciate your leadership. And I think with you at the head of our party, we should all go out and make you proud and do what it takes to fight for people.
Well, thank you, Sita, so much. And we are all in it together. We are all working together forward. And I appreciate you and all of the folks, the activists and the volunteers and the people who are out there working every day for the betterment of Floridians and betterment of all of our citizens of the United States. It's going to take all of us. I just want to thank everybody for all you've done and all you will be doing as we go forward. I just want to make one final remark that we have, and you know, Sita, this is sort of my shtick on the countdown. We have now 169 days left to Election Day. Counting down the days, it's getting closer and closer and closer. That is literally 5 months and 17 days before November 3rd. So all of us working together for the betterment of our country and to elect Joe Biden as president, that's the time we have. And I thank everybody for doing everything they can to do it. Make sure you sign up for Vote by Mail, everybody. Make sure when you get your ballots, and if you're going to vote by mail, that you sign the back of the ballots. And you can track them with your supervisors of elections to make sure that they get them. Please remember that vote by mail ballots do count. Help people dispel the myths and make sure that people know the facts about vote by mail.
Like my mother used to say, speak the truth. Yeah. The truth will set you free.
And we will post all of that information. Thank you so much, Terry Rizzo. We're going to listen to our few ads from our sponsors, and we'll be right back with potential mayor of Palm Bay, Kay Mirage.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud9. Mattress and Furniture. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County. Contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We had a really robust first segment with the Florida Democratic Party Chair, Terry Rizzo, and I think we covered, you know, a lot of the issues and things that people are talking about. This vote by mail has been so much all over the place that people are beginning to think that their vote don't count. And I'm really glad that we gave Terry an extra 3 minutes so that she could dispel some of that rumor and lies and myth. Yeah. I mean, the truth is, vote by mail works.
Absolutely.
And so it's people like us should be saying that.
Well, and like she said, within 60 days or so before, which doesn't give us much time, that's like at the end of July.
Yeah, it's like
you can go on the supervisor of elections and request your vote by mail.
Right. And I'm glad that she said it's kind of like an insurance policy.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. You have it, you know it's there in case you need to use it. And if you don't, you walk into the the office and give it to them when
like
you go
I
to
said,
vote.
I always get one only because I like to fill it out before I go because I sometimes with those, you know, those bills and stuff.
Especially
like that
with
that
judges
are on there,
and stuff.
Yeah, like I don't know all of them necessarily
that's,
all the
that's
time.
That's kind of rough. People always ask me. I'm like, I don't know. I use Google too.
Right.
So our second segment is with my friend Kay Miraj. I see I had no trouble with her name because Miraj is an Indian name. It's a really good, nice Indian name. I could say I grew up with so many Miraj. Her husband's Indian. And Kay is a wife. She's a mother. She's a real estate agent. She's a small business owner. She's my friend. And she currently serves on the Planning and Zoning Board at the Community Development Advisory Board for the City of Palm Bay. She's married to her husband, Linville Miraj, for 19 years. And she's a proud mother of a college-bound child.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Empty nest
adults
are coming soon.
Oh, yeah. We are heading for UF.
Right, and she hails from Ocho Rios?
Ocho Rios.
Ocho Rios, Jamaica. She is like me, an immigrant who is naturalized and loves the United States. You would think we were born here from day one because we love it. She moved to the United States. She was 19 years old, for our listeners who are tuning in. Kay's mom was a school teacher, and her father is a retired Army veteran who currently serves as the, what is VCOP?
VCOP. He's a volunteer cop for the City of Palm Bay.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. It's law enforcement all over the place, right?
Absolutely.
So we're going to have Kay talk about herself and why she is running to be the next mayor of Palm Bay here in Florida.
Yes, thank you so much. First of all, just thank you for inviting me and for being here. And just listening to Teria, I was so inspired. You know, it's time to do everything we can to get out the vote, to make sure we're involved and engaged. So, you know, kudos to Terry and her leadership. As you know, you said, Kay Miraj, I am running to be the next mayor for the beautiful city of Palm Bay. And for me, it is one that I decided to jump in because, you know, like everyone else in Palm Bay, we're kind of tired of, you know, our city being the bedroom community, tired of just being a city where we go to, you know, and our surrounding cities for entertainment, for restaurants, and we want to have something for us where our city has so much potential, but we get short-sighted because of the leadership. And I feel that I am the person with the compassion, with the ideas, with the agility and the determination to bring Palm Bay into the 21st century, as it were, to make our city phenomenal.
Well, you know, Kay, as a real estate agent, you pretty much come into contact with people who share stories.
Absolutely.
Right? People share their stories of, you know, how they had to skimp and save. And being from the Caribbean, Lord, I know about saving, right? So, I mean, everybody should know about saving, but there's something about our parents back home that if you make a dollar, you put away 40 cents, right? but you hear the stories of people who've lost a job, gained a job, had to send a child to school, had to walk somebody to school, didn't have money for gas, didn't have money for tires, but here they want to own a home. And I think that's one thing that Palm Bay, we see so many people, it's growing, the city's growing, and so many people believe in home ownership. So what have you learned when you talk to people who wants to buy a home?
Well, one of the big things, again, you know, owning a home is one of the things that everyone or most people aspire to. And we see people coming from all over the country and they find Palm Bay, and it's a beautiful, beautiful city. It has the nature, it has, you know, it has so much potential and opportunities. However, what has been unfortunately the voice of many people is that there isn't enough. There isn't enough when it comes to for their children who are like my son heading off to college, and they're going to wonder if they're going to come back because of that some youth not having the feeling that there's something here for them.
They're thinking of jobs. They're thinking of their future.
They're thinking of jobs. They're thinking of entertainment. They're looking at the infrastructure. They're looking at many things. And so whereas, you know, we want homes and we encourage that and encourage people to be here, one of the things that for me I look at too is the managed growth of Palm Bay. So home ownership, absolutely. And the persons who are here are invested in the community. They want to see it grow. They want to see it expand. They want to invite people in. But we also know that there is a balance. And so for me, it's making sure that we do have that balance to be able to balance our growth with protecting the environment, which ensuring that we're having the right businesses here as well.
So what made you decide to run to become the lady mayor of Palm Bay?
Well, you know, and I just, you know, it's kind of saying that too, is when I look at the issue with affordable housing and knowing that, again, being in real estate, it gives me that unique opportunity to learn about, you know, the disparities between, you know, the people who can afford three times the rent and people who can't. And people who want to get the home but are priced out because the builders are only building single family homes.
Yeah, the disappointment or the jubilation, right?
Of owning absolutely.
A home or not own. I know Ellen lives in Palm Bay and she's always talked about the roads.
Yes.
I mean, you have a special road that you always talk about that needs to be fixed. I don't live in Palm Bay, but I've driven to Palm Bay and I've eaten at a lot of restaurants there, and I think it's growing and it's getting better. And I love some of the signage that they're putting up, easy access to I-95 and things like that. But you said that there's a certain area that you would like to see developed.
The southeast, southwest area?
Yeah, well, it's most of the southeast area because it's close to US-1.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful riverfront property, most of it. And it just looks, you know, it has looked awful. And I've lived in Palm Bay since 1988. So, I mean, I've been
there for a long time
and I've seen all the roads expansion and I've seen... the development from GDU, from General
Development
Utilities, mm-hmm. up to, you know, the current where all the builders are starting to come in and so forth. But the infrastructure for the roads and stuff has just always been a challenge.
Absolutely.
You can't drive down one road in Palm Bay.
Yeah, because the more people that move to Florida, it's more congestion for us.
Exactly.
So you have to prepare for that.
And so that's one of the balance as well, ensuring that we have the infrastructure in place, are looking at that, making sure that we have a maintenance schedule, because we can talk about looking and building these roads, but what is the line item in our budget to making sure that we are maintaining these? When we look at our wastewater management, I had a conversation on my town hall yesterday, on Saturday actually, with... talking about the Indian River Lagoon and what it needs for our waste management treatments and the plant and what do we have.
And
what
septic
we find
tanks.
Is infrastructure itself to make sure that we can, you know, say to people, you know what, you can go on city water or you can go on city sewer. But those are things that we need to put in place. We need to start to have a comprehensive plan. And
that's,
you talk about
the
development. Exactly.
There's been no plan.
Exactly.
Right,
we talk about the development of Palm Bay and what has happened. Our comprehensive plan is so outdated that it needs to be revised. Sitting on the planning and zoning board kind of give me that open eye view of saying, wow, how are we planning to go forward with this comprehensive plan? And what has happened is it's so old that nobody even really follows it anymore.
So do you think like people are just rubber stamping the old plans?
And no, it's not even that. They've just abandoned the old plan because it's just too old.
There is no plan and there's no rubber stamping.
Or there's another shiny thing that happens.
Right.
That somebody chases a shiny thing that, you know, and then we kind of give up the part that could make the shiny thing a little nicer.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
And that's really what it boils.
Right. And, you know, I don't think they think, I mean, it takes, I like the idea that a woman is running, a mother, who has seen what happens when the school system doesn't have a proper teacher.
I love the way you bring that up.
Or when your child has to eat and you don't have time to prepare a meal, or you're meeting
other... Or there's not a safe sidewalk for your child.
Or there's other people in the school that don't have meals, but they tell your children about it. You might be able to send a sandwich, but their friends don't. So moms have this intuition about how to fix things. And it starts with personal responsibility in the homes, right? You have to make sure the children have a school to attend. You have to make sure they have a good sidewalk. Make sure they have a safe and secure place to learn. You have to make sure that entertainment-wise, in the evenings, there's places for kids to go.
Things to
clean
do.
Clean parks. Moms have that thing where we know how to run the world. We really do.
No, you've been saying that. And one of my thing, and it comes to the youth, I don't even know if any other candidate or even thinking about it when it comes to what are we looking to do for our youth. One of my things is...
To take them, get them out of mischief.
Making sure we're focusing on entrepreneurship, skills training, as well as the arts. You know, our creative young people are just no way for them to enhance those skills. We don't have a performing arts centers. I look at having, again, I believe a city's job is to facilitate these growth, not to necessarily go out and do them yourselves, but bringing all the stakeholders to the table. If it's a nonprofit, it's an organization, with a strategic plan that we have, a comprehensive plan, we'll say now, okay, in the southeast side, this is what we can do. This is the type of entertainment we want to bring. This is the type of structure we want to make sure we're having here. But if you don't have a plan, anybody comes up with something, you take it. I want to make sure that we are balancing that. We're looking at the type of housing. What are the things we only have, you know, single family homes? What about the other types? What about the townhomes? What about other homes? Because what happened, not everybody wants, especially our young people, not everybody wants to live in a 2,000 square foot home.
They don't even wake up on time, much less to cut grass. You know?
And so we need to accommodate, again, we need diversity in the type of housing. To me, that's one of the solutions.
You need all the minds. You can't have a one-track mind.
I love that.
You can't have a one-track mind. Right. Bring everybody in and let everybody say their piece, because everybody has, it's like a bag of Skittles. Everybody has something to add to make it sweeter, right?
But we have so many places in so many areas, even in the northeast section where that, you know, that old Winn-Dixie used to be on US 1. It used to be like the Friday Fest that they would have that. And the parking lot was just so, it's so bad. And it's just an eyesore. And there it is right on US 1.
But you know, it takes
beautiful
money. It
ribbon.
Takes money. It
absolutely
takes mind.
But
it's
energy.
But it's incentive.
It takes strategic planning.
Right. But you also have to have somebody who wants to buy the property and develop it,
correct,
too. But you know, Ellen, I've given all the candidates who are running for office in town, I've given all of them a chance to come on our show and talk with us, talk to us, talk to the residents of Brevard County, Florida, why they should vote for a person. And it's great to have that energy and that passion that people like Kay brings to politics.
That's right. So, but I do want to make sure that everyone knows that this is paid for, this particular segment has been paid for by the campaign to elect Kayman Mirage.
Yeah.
Right.
Mayor.
You almost said city council.
Yeah.
You got me.
Because, you know.
But
no,
city council.
But here's the thing. So, Kay, you've had a lot of community involvement as well.
Yes.
That has prepared you to do public speaking. You're a business owner, and you're running to be the mayor of Palm Bay. So tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about your community involvement.
So my community involvement stemmed from I was probably 8 years old. I had my own, where I grew up in Ocho Rios, had my own group where we worked on the performing arts. We encouraged people to sing and dance so that we could raise money for our kindergarten that was next door. And then when I was 16, I started Youths with a Purpose. And that was an organization that to help young people, navigate the eras of sex at the time. Because, you know, at the time there was an AIDS epidemic. So we wanted to make sure nobody was doing anything. So I wanted to make sure that we were doing something there. And then once I moved to New Jersey, what I was working with was the West Indian American Association, and we were feeding the homeless. We were empowering young women to make sure that they, you know, had a sense of culture, a sense of value. Then when I moved here to Palm Bay,
your tribe. Yeah, you like to take charge. You're like me. I think I was born to be an advocate for everything. And I know how to fundraise. And you're like that. You know how to do that. But of course, for your campaign, you need people to donate time and money
and
as
money
well.
As well.
Palm Bay is the biggest city in Brevard County.
Absolutely.
And we are, I think, you know, from our perspective, at least from the city of Palm Bay, I think we've always kind of been misrepresented as far as a voting in Brevard County, of getting even things in Brevard County done. But yet we're like a third, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, we need positive messages about
really
Palm Bay. We really
do.
So here we are.
And we want to make sure, and to me again, you know, you bring up like, but that part is, you know, making sure that we have the accountability and transparency in all levels of our government.
Yeah, it can't be like the old boys club all the time. I'm sorry. That's not how politics should be. It should be about people's lives. It should be about the boy next door, the girl next door who can't afford college.
Whose
parents can't afford rent, who can't go to a great college.
And the number one school, elementary school, that has the most poverty and the most hungry children.
So what are some of your issues, Kay Mirage, who's running for Palm Bay mayor?
Thank you. So, of course, I mentioned mentioned affordable housing. Mm-hmm. I mentioned affordable housing as a big issue for me because I've seen it up front where so many young persons, veterans, teachers are not able to get into to affordable homes because they're simply priced out of the market. And also when I look at bringing economic development, not only to one part of the city, as we seem to be doing, but to all of the city. And we want to make sure that we are balancing our growth, or sustainable growth, with protecting the environment. And as I mentioned before, I had Dr. Lisa Soto from MRC, Marine Resource Council, just on my virtual town hall that I do each week to talk about the impacts, if we're not doing it properly, the long-term impacts for our community. So we want to make sure that we are balancing those growth. We can't, at the cost of our environment, you know, put the thing
in. What are you doing to get more young people involved in your campaign or people engaged in the campaign?
And, you know, what right now, because of COVID-19, we're the first thing I was doing was going door to door. I was, you know, just kind of being in, you know, working with everyone, talking, listening to people's issues. But now because of that, I have decided to, you know, go online and not just to post, you know, repost messages, but to be engaging with the citizens. So I do a virtual town hall.
And so where do you do that? Where can people log into that?
Oh, they just go to my Facebook page. Okay. They can go. I am live on Roku, on YouTube, at Radio Tele Impact. And it is a interactive. You can call in. Interactive. No holds barred. Any questions I'm answering. And that's how I intend to lead, to be able to have that. So it's every Saturday at 6 p.m.
You're easy access to the candidate and to the mayor. So it's okay. Everybody, you know, a lot of people have dreams. They have ambitions, mm-hmm. and they want to do things, but they just don't do it because some people just talk, but they don't really, they're all talk and no action, right? You decided to act upon your instinct to run for mayor of Palm Bay. What would you say to someone who says to you, okay, what are the pros and cons? What are the challenges that you've faced running for mayor?
You know what happened? I'm one of those brave people all the time. I'm not shy about anything I do. If I believe in what I'm going to do, I'm just going to go and do it. And I know in everything you do, if I decide to walk out the street, there's going to be challenges. If I decide to sit home, there's going to be challenges. So for me, the challenge has just been, you know, to be honest, been COVID-19, you know, in terms of being able to do the things that I know that needs to be done to get my voice heard, to get to the people. And so for someone, I would say, you know what, in spite of the challenges, in spite of anything that's difficult, I listened to Miss Jamaica World. She said, you know what, somebody asked her, why was she, you know, running, being on the Miss World competition, and if she's not scared? And she said, yes, I'm scared. But my fear, the things that are so much more important than my fear. So for me, the things are more important than my fear. Affordable housing is more important than my fear.
Yeah, and you're meeting people in the community. You're meeting voters all the time. If somebody were to say to you, give me a 30-second elevator speech, and you have that 30-second, how would you say to them that you're the candidate that they should vote for?
So I'll let them know that K. Mirage is ready, willing, and has the passion, has the ideas, the plans to make sure that Palm Bay is the phenomenal city that it should be. I will bring accountability and transparency. I'll bring a sense of authenticity to the office and make sure that we are known for not just the corruption and crime and the city that has not done anything, but known for so much more, a place where we can truly live, grow, and be as a city.
Together.
Absolutely.
Right? But you've often talked about representational politics. I like that, how you coined that term. Where did you get the term representational politics from?
For me, it's been since I probably was 8 years old. I think, for me, it was...
Was that from the Students' Companion?
It was probably from there. politics, I just don't think of, people just use that word just so loosely. For me, it is representing the people. It is being representational. You can't just sit back and say, you know what, I just love doing this. It's fun to be out, and I love the power. It is about the work that needs to be done, and I believe that in representing. So representational politics is critical. The idea of the representational politics is what I embrace.
And it's who you are. You know, I remember when I ran, a good friend of mine said, well, you know, you're not white, you're not Catholic, and you weren't born in the United States, and you, people won't vote for you based on those three. But I think a lot of us who have great ideas and want to make a difference and a positive change in the life of other people, we should not let our skin color or race or religion stop us. I think if your heart's in the right place, people will see through it.
Yes.
And I see that in you. I think you really mean well. And it would be wonderful to have a person in charge who've been there, done that, don't need it, but want to give back.
Absolutely. And for me, it's never, again, I don't let, you know, who I am, my color or anything like that affect my ability to share and give and be a part of my community. That's not even a thought process for me. For me, it is about, my father always say, you have to, he always talk about, you have to give back. You have to share. That's why, you know, he came here too and decided I have to give back, and the way he could do that was become a VCOP. My mother has done the same thing, and so for me it is about giving back. It doesn't matter who I am, if whether or not, you know, people see,
you know, you feel better. I think when you give back, whether even if you have a meal at work and you want to share it with somebody, you feel good to share, right? Sharing is caring.
Absolutely,
being compassionate.
Is.
But I think there's a lot of people that would try to, there's an old saying back home, like a crab in a barrel mentality, that every time one tries to come out, another one will pull him down. And in politics, I see that a lot. You don't have to be a Democrat, a Republican, an independent. It's just people in general. There are some people who would try to be negative and pull you down. But I like that you're not letting that happen.
Yes.
Have you encountered people who said, I'm going to help you with the campaign, but then they don't show up?
Yeah, of course. And I think you're going to always have that. And there are people in your community who, you know, you thought was always there. But but to me, that doesn't, it doesn't impact the bigger work that needs to be done.
Yeah.
As a community, we need to strive to be better, to do better, to set ourselves apart. And that's what I come with. I don't hold
grudges. Well, give us your
website.
We have a minute. Like, give us your website so people can go and donate and look at your campaign issues
absolutely.
And your platform and all that.
My website is www.palmbayk. Remember that, palmbayk.com. You can go to my Facebook page as well, Palm Bay K, K for Palm Bay Mayor. And, you know, one of the things I just want to add, I know we have a few minutes, but I want to make sure people understand that inclusivity is so important. And one of the things I do want to propose and will have is a citizens think tank, where you mentioned it before, you know, getting the different people together. And that's so critical, because I know a lot of the voices have been shuttered. Smart people who want to give, don't get an opportunity to do that. And with a citizens think tank, we'll be able to do that and embrace all the ideas and sit down and solving problems one at a time.
So make sure you tune in on Kay Mirage's Facebook page, her town hall,
and
Saturdays
check out her
at 6 o'clock. Check out the website. Once again, another fantastic edition,
you know,
of
what,
Viewpoint
before we
with
go,
Sita
I just want to tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, everyone should have an Auntie Maxine in their family. Make sure everybody in your family is registered to vote. I don't care how they vote, but make sure they vote.
And August 18th. August 18th.
August 18th is your race is decided.
That's right. Thank you all so much. We'll see you next week here on another edition of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.